here on KRVS 88.7 FM in Lafayette and Lake Charles, a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette.
Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. This is KRVS 88.7 FM in Lafayette Lake Charles. Weather for the listening area, sunny this afternoon with a high near 92 degrees. Heat index at about 100 degrees. West winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies this evening with a low of 72 and a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms come into the picture tomorrow afternoon. Otherwise, partly sunny on Tuesday with a high of around 90 degrees. Currently, it's mostly cloudy, 91. Here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Judith Merriweather will join us in just a few minutes at 4 o'clock. It's All Things Considered from NPR News. Music next by Igor Stravinsky. We're going to listen to a suite from his composition, The Firebird. Performing, Robert Shaw, conducting the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
music by Igor Stravinsky. We heard a performance by Robert Shaw conducting the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra with the Firebird Suite, the 1919 version. It's 21 minutes past the hour. You're listening to KRVS, Lafayette Lake Charles. Next up, guitarist Gerd Vusterman will be performing tracks from his latest release, Echo de Sombras. These are compositions by Antonio Lauro. This is the Vals Venezolano, numbers 1 through 3. Thank you. music performed by guitarist Gerd Vusterman from his new disc Echo de Sombras. That was Antonio Lauro's Valse Venezolano numbers 1 through 4. It's 3:30. This is KRVS Lafayette Lake Charles. Time to head into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Jean-François Mouhot. He is a professor at Georgetown University, the Marie Curie Research Fellow at Georgetown. He is in Lafayette to give a lecture this evening at the South Regional Library on Johnston Street. The title of his lecture is From France to Louisiana, Acadian Refugees' Immigration in the 18th Century. The program is being made possible by the Center for Louisiana Studies. So, bienvenue. Jean-François.
Merci.
You yourself are not an Acadian, not related to Acadians.
No, I'm not.
But you became interested in the subject and did research early on, I believe, on the Acadians. What led you to become interested in that subject?
In 1999, I was a student for a master's in Montreal, and I discovered I had a seminar on the history of New France, the history of Canada, of the French colony of Canada before it was ceded to the British, and I discovered for the first time the history of the Acadians, which I found quite fascinating. And a few years later, I started a PhD I was interested by what happened to Canadian refugees who left Canada after the conquest of Canada by the British. But I discovered in the archives, when I was doing research in France, a lot of documents about Acadian refugees that seemed to me a lot more interesting than the Canadian refugees from the St. Lawrence Valley. And I decided to switch the subject to concentrate only on the Acadian refugees.
Well, it certainly is a subject that we're all very interested in, and we probably have a lot of misconceptions about it. And of course, it's been romanticized ever since the beginning, of course, with Longfellow, and there have been lots of stories. And so our interest is mixed with a lot of romantic images, I'm sure. What was it that you found so interesting about the Acadians leaving, you know, Nova Scotia rather than the Canadians? What made it so fascinating to you?
Well, there was the fact first that there is very little that is known in France about these refugees, and I felt it was a mistake that most French books about the history of the 18th century in France do not mention these refugees at all. What was fascinating to me was to try and understand what happened to these 3,000 people who lived in France, who arrived in France in the middle of the century, and spent about 30 years doing various things in France, and then left to Louisiana in 1785. And I was extremely interested to understand why did these people stay in France for so long and then leave to Louisiana. What were the reasons? Was it because, as many historians as I tried, as I started to get into reading a lot of books, mostly by Canadian scholar and Louisianian scholar, on the subject, I was intrigued to try and see whether it was because these people had a strong sense of identity, which is the common explanation for their refusal to assimilate in France. Was it this a good reason to explain the departure in Louisiana? I was also extremely interested by what the different policies that the French government followed to try to assimilate these Acadians, or were they really trying to assimilate these Acadians?
Well, let's go back with a few of the numbers. I'm sure some people are doing some dates and numbers and trying to figure out where it all fit in. First of all, when did the Acadians leave France? The ones who became Acadians.
Okay, when did they leave France?
Originally to go to Nova Scotia.
Well, they didn't all go at once. Mm-hmm. They left from the 17th century onwards. Mm-hmm. But Acadia became British in 1713. So the French population, mostly French, it wasn't only exclusively French, there were also some Germans and others, but this population who lived in Nova Scotia accepted the new British rule, but decided to, but they continued to speak French and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And as the tensions between France and Britain and the North American colonies, increased over the course of the 18th century, leading to the deportations, because there were actually several deportations, not one. This is one of the misconceptions that some people have. So these people were deported in 1755 and afterwards, and there was one other deportation, main deportation, in 1758, not from mainland Acadia or Nova Scotia, but from the small island that was at the north of Nova Scotia, which was called at the time Île Saint-Jean, and is now Prince Edward Island, sorry, in English. Mm. To answer your question, about 3,000 of these people arrived in France out of a total of about 10,000 people who were deported.
So there were 10,000 Acadians deported, mm-hmm. Over a period of about 3 years from Nova
Actually,
Scotia.
even more than 3 years. Throughout the Seven Years' War, what is here called the French and Indian Wars, there were several waves of deportation. But the main two ones were in 1755, which was the deportation of the Acadian population from the mainland Acadia land, and in 1758 from Prince Edward Island. Mm. But actually, refugees in France arrived in several waves. They arrived. The first wave to arrive is actually the one that were deported in 1758 from Prince Edward Island. They went straight to France. And a second wave of refugees went through Virginia first, and then they were sent back from Virginia, who didn't want them, to England. And from England, they, at the end of the Seven Years' War in 1763, they came to France. And there were not actually one group of Acadians in France. There were several groups scattered in many different locations.
And I'm sure people wonder, how were those decisions made originally? I mean, there's probably a lot of confusion in some of the deportations, but the group you mentioned who first went directly to France, well, how were those decisions made, where the ships went?
That's a good question. These Acadians were deported directly to France for a very good reason. They were actually French citizens in the sense that they lived when France and Britain had divided the former province called Acadia. The French kept the two islands north of the main land of Acadia, so Prince Edward Island and Cape Breton Island, and these territories were French. So when the British invaded these territories in 1758, they sent back the Acadians to France because to them they were French citizens. The other Acadians who were deported in 1755 from mainland Acadia were, in theory at least, and there was some debate about that, they were British citizens. And therefore, at the time, it's important to remember that empires, French and British empires, were very concerned about depopulation. They thought that the more people you have, the more
better claim you had, or
exactly, and the more wealth you had, and so on and so forth. So they didn't want to lose these people. Were very precious. They didn't want to lose them to France. So that's why they decided, instead of deporting them to France, they deported them in the 13 colonies, because it was before the U.S. became independent. And only Virginia, because they didn't want to pay for, these refugees arrived, they were destitute, they had absolutely nothing, no clothes, no food. So you needed, even though it was, in theory, a good investment in people, Virginia didn't feel that they wanted to make that investment. So they sent them back straight to England. And they were kept prisoner in England for about 5 years during the war until at the end of the war, there was an agreement between France and England, and they were sent back to France.
So these people are still part of that 3,000 that you're talking about who ended up in France.
Yes.
And were they related to the larger percentage of Acadians who made their way down south, I guess, a little bit sooner, the 6,000 or so who left first? Were they all related? Were they from the same families?
Yes, very much so. I mean, probably extended families we're talking mm-hmm. about, not nuclear families. Mm-hmm. The British tried, well, there's some discussion about that, but mostly they didn't separate the nuclear family. So father and children, parents and children would usually be kept together. There were some exceptions, but the extended families, there was no attempt whatsoever to keep them together. So typically you would have maybe cousins, for these refugees in France, they would have cousins living in, I don't know, Maryland, and others maybe moved in Louisiana, some of us were in the West Indies. Some of them were even sent to the Falkland Island, the south of the Atlantic.
So even though they were French citizens living up on those islands, they were still connected with those Acadian families on the mainland.
Very much so. Yeah. And what's amazing to discover is that there was a census in one of the small places where they resettled in France, in the 1760s and 70s, because the Acadians had lost their parish register in the move, in the deportation, and it was very important for the French authorities to reconstruct these parish registers. Some of the parish registers had been taken with them on ships, some of us are not, and therefore they needed to reconstruct. They wanted to know who the Acadians were related to. It was very important in the 18th century to have some connections with your family and so on and so forth, also for the authorities. Some people would guarantee that you were someone worth of credit and so on and so forth. And so they started asking these Acadians where they came from, and they asked them also who were their ancestors. So you have people who tell over 5-6 generations they can tell where their ancestors were, where they moved in Acadia and so on and so forth, even sometimes when they came from in France. So that's a fascinating document. But also what's amazing in this document is that you see that these Acadians also knew very well where all their extended families were. So they would tell, I have one sister in Boston, one cousin in Louisiana, and so on and so forth.
That's all without phones and computers, and
exactly.
They kept in touch. I want to tell people who may just be tuning in that my guest is Jean-François Moule. He is a professor at Georgetown University. He's from France, is in Lafayette to give a talk at the South Regional Library this evening. The title of his lecture is From France to Louisiana, Acadian Refugees Immigration in the 18th Century. And we're talking about a group of about 3,000 who eventually ended up in France, some immediately, some through English prisons. They were held for a few years, which I think would surprise a lot of people. Some of their ancestors might have been in English prisons for a while. So you've got about 3,000 who end up in France. And what part of France did they end up in?
They were mostly concentrated on the French ports on the Atlantic and on the Channel as well. And a lot of them were concentrated, about 2,000 of them were around the region of Saint-Malo, which is one of the ports of Brittany, and in the region of Saint-Malo. But they also moved in France during the period, because one of the problems for the French government and for the Acadians indeed themselves was what to do with this group of refugees. They needed to be provided with jobs, with potentially land. Mm-hmm. In fact, some promises had been made to the Acadians, especially to those who had been in Britain, prisoners during the Seven Years' War. There was a kind of a competition between the British and the French about who would get these Acadians. And some of the French... The French ambassador actually made some promises to the Acadians that if they wanted to join, to come to France, they would be given good lands to cultivate and be resettled and be prosperous.
Mm-hmm. But they had been away from France for about how long, most of these immigrants?
Well, most of these immigrants had never been to France, but
their families.
Yeah, their families had been away in Canada.
Years.
Probably, yes. I mean, every case is different. I couldn't give you a good number, but there were different cases, but the immigration had been, started as far back as the mid-1630s, so it was over 120 years for some families.
Mm-hmm. Now, what you mentioned earlier, that some of them stayed in France for about 30 years before actually coming to Louisiana. And again, I think that's a misconception. Most of us think within about 10 years, all of the Acadians had you know, migrated and ended up in Louisiana by about 1765, I guess. But 30 years, that's a long time to stay in France and then decide to come. What happened? What made some of them decide to immigrate to Louisiana and some not?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very good question again. What I should probably start with saying is that some of these Acadians, some of the Acadians who were deported, as I said before, in the 13 colonies, actually, some of them, after the conclusion of the war, the French and Indian Wars, decided to go to Louisiana, either directly or sometimes through the island of Saint-Domingue, the French colony of Saint-Domingue, which is now Haiti. And a lot of them arrived in the period you said, so after 1763, 1764, 1768. So a lot of these Acadians arrived then. And what is one of the very interesting things I've been able to discover in the French archives was a very interesting letter from a Acadian immigrant, who refugee, I guess, who had arrived in Louisiana in 1765. Via Haiti, Saint-Domingue. And he writes to his father a very, very interesting letter. His father is in Le Havre in France. It's one of the ports in France. And he writes this wonderful letter. And what's so special about this letter is that it was known, this letter had been known, because it was mentioned in several documents that the administration, several administrators in France referred to this Acadian who had received a letter from his son telling him to come to Louisiana. So it was everybody, most historians working on this topic knew about this letter, but it was my great joy and pleasure to be able to to come across one day in the French archives, and I knew everybody had been looking for
the actual letter.
Exactly. So that was a fantastic moment of research. I was so happy, as you can imagine, because I knew so much about this letter and nobody had been able to read it before. And what's so special about this letter is he describes, and by the way, it's been published in Journal History, something like that. But what's very interesting is that you can see that this Acadian son writes to his father and he says, my dear father, you know, life in Louisiana is so much easier than in France. You have no taxes to pay.
Still a consideration.
Already, yes, exactly. And so he begs his father and he says, please come with my dear mother to live with us in Louisiana. There's several Acadians who have arrived with me, and we're settling and everything is fine. Well, mostly everything is fine, because he also mentions that a lot of them have died because of fevers. So anyway, he sends this letter to France, and we have a request from some Acadians, at least those in this group in this French port in Le Havre, who want to go to Louisiana at this stage. But the French government doesn't grant the permission for these Acadians to go at this time. So what happened afterwards is a long story.
Which you're going to tell tonight. So, but I think what people are beginning to understand is a very long and complex story. It wasn't a simple, we have this image of one night they were all told to go, they get on the boats and, you know, it takes them maybe a few years, but they make their way. But this is really complex, and there's a lot of politics involved and family issues. And so half of them end up leaving France over a 30-year period, and then half of them just stay.
Yes.
So quite a number of Acadians were reintegrated into French society. And what? And again, we don't have a whole lot of time, but people can attend the lecture tonight. That's going to be at the South Regional Library, 6:30. That's at 6101 Johnston Street in Lafayette. But what were some of the main, again, kind of shortening all of the research that you've done, what convinced some of the Acadians to actually stay in France?
Well, I will reverse your question.
Okay, what convinced them to leave?
Exactly, because actually, I just mentioned that this letter in 1766, mm-hmm. and some Acadians request the permission to go to Louisiana. But this is only one group amongst Acadians who wanted to go to Louisiana. And in fact, the Acadians throughout their stay, 30 years in stay in France, are very divided about what to do and what they want. Some of them want to stay in France. Some of them want to go back to Acadia. And some of them want to go to Louisiana or to the West Indies. So there are very conflicting requests. We don't know for sure, by the way, if these requests are always completely sincere, because I mentioned that the French government didn't grant the permission for these Acadians to go to Louisiana. And the reason, by the way, why they didn't grant this permission to these Acadians to go to Louisiana is because, as you know, Louisiana had been given to Spain after the French and Indian Wars. And the French government, you know, with the same principle that I mentioned before, didn't want to lose these very valuable people. Mm-hmm. And this is another misconception, I think, about a common misconception about Acadian refugees in France, that they were mistreated and that they were looked down as, you know, mere peasants or fishermen that mm-hmm. are absolutely no value. That's not at all the case. The French government valued very much these people, at least in theory. In actual fact, they also often forgot about them. They gave them some money for the duration of their stay, but they're always late to pay. So there's lots of good intention, but not always, you know,
follow through.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. So to come back to your initial question, it doesn't seem to me that the Acadians were very clear that they wanted to go to Acadia. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to tell too much here because I want people to either read the book or
right.
maybe come tonight.
Right, but again, as you mentioned, it's so fascinating that they are very divided and have mm-hmm. said, you know, now we think, of course, we're all here, we're Acadians, we have great food, and it's a lot of fun here. They didn't know that then, did they? Everything was quite a mystery, and really there were so many options for them.
Yes. In fact, one of the problems of the Louisiana option, as I would call it, as the Acadians could see it, is that Acadia had a bad reputation for being a disease-prone country.
And in South Louisiana.
South Louisiana, yes. Because of the fevers, mm-hmm. especially. You know, in the 18th century, people had very little understanding of how yellow fever, malaria were transmitted. There were lots of very interesting theories about how it happened, but nobody seemed to think about the mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this letter written in 1766, and even though this letter was very encouraging to the Acadians in France to come to group in Louisiana, it also contains some hints about diseases, fever, and we can see in many of the documents that the Acadians write the French administration during at the time and after that they are very scared about these diseases. So that's one of the reasons why the Louisiana option is not necessarily the most favored one. Hmm. Interestingly, and this might be also something that maybe some of your listeners might not be aware of, a lot of the Acadians wanted to either go back to Acadia, to Nova Scotia, and in the end, this is also a lot of Acadians went back not to where their families used to live in mainland Nova Scotia, but rather to what's now New Brunswick. But a lot of the Acadians also wanted to go to the small two islands called Saint-Pierre and Miquelon in the North Atlantic, close to Newfoundland, and that's one of their preferred destinations. But I don't know whether they wanted to go there because in the hope that they might be able to infiltrate back to Acadia, Nova Scotia, mm-hmm. or whether they genuinely wanted to go back to
create a new colony.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in fact, those who went to those two islands, Saint-Pierre and Miquelon, had a lot of hard times because they were actually deported three times. Because there was when the war started again between France and Great Britain during the War of American Independence, this archipelago, Saint-Pierre and Miquelon, was again emptied of its inhabitants, and they were sent back to France, and some of them came back afterwards. And again, during the Revolutionary Wars, 10 years later, they were again deported. So that was a very difficult time for them, for this particular group.
A lot of tenacity. It sounds like really interesting that the ways people ended up in various countries, and that where we are, those who ended up in Louisiana did as they did. But I'm sure people can ask you more questions about that. We're a little out of time here. If you have just tuned in, my guest is Jean-François Mouhot. The Center for Louisiana Studies has brought him here. He is traveling around in Louisiana, went to a conference in New Orleans, and will head to Baton Rouge. He'll be speaking at the South Regional Library this evening at 6:30. The title of his talk is From France to Louisiana, Acadian Refugees, Immigration in the 18th Century. Jean-François, you have a book that is coming out soon about this topic. How can people find out more about it?
Actually, my book came out about 2 years ago. It's currently out of print, but it's going to be republished in France again in September. And people can also buy a electronic version of the book that is still available. Mm-hmm. And I've got also a... we were discussing a translation, possible translation in English, which I would love to have a, you know, an English translation. And there's also a couple of, for people who don't read French, there's also I have an article coming out in the forthcoming issue of Louisiana History, which should be out in a few weeks, I think, about immigration from France to Acadia in 1785. And there's also a very interesting document in the same issue that I've edited, that I transcribed from Spanish archives in Seville, about it's a long summary of events by an Acadian cobbler, actually, who lived in Nantes in France, and who was recruited by an agent from the Spanish government to organize the immigration of the Acadians to Louisiana. This is a document that had been known by historians, but it's the first time it will appear in transcription, full transcription with notes, and also in an English translation.
Well, and if people would like, they can call the Center for Louisiana Studies and ask them more about your articles and your books, and they'll have information on that as well. Again, my guest Jean-François Mouhot tonight. He'll be giving a lecture at the South Regional Library in Lafayette at 6:30, From France to Louisiana, Acadian Refugees, Immigration in the 18th Century. Thank you so much, Jean-François.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.